Blog Talk Radio.
Hello and welcome to the VRO. Today is Friday, April 27th, 2012, and it is 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Your hosts tonight are myself, VRO Jess, and my co-host tonight is the handsome Brendan, and of course we have the ever-present Amy McCracken on Switchboard tonight. How do you like that, Brendan? You like your intro?
Oh, that was so sweet. So awesome. And might I say, Jess is mighty sexy as well.
Oh, see, now I'm feeling the love, Brendan. I'm feeling the love. You guys almost got treated to a beatbox entrance because Brendan and I were rocking it out off air.
Oh, so doing it. We're going to take that stuff on the road.
Yes, 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 we are.
Y'all want to hear it? Y'all want to hear it? You want to do it?
No,
okay.
We're not going to do it.
Do it, Brandon.
Do it.
Okay. Okay, guys, you got Paul.
Oh, we're just joking around. Sorry, guys. So, anyway, we have a very special guest for tonight's broadcast. We are very excited to have former lead guitarist for Puddle of Mud and all-around cool guy Paul Phillips with us tonight. Paul, are you on the line?
I'm on the line. I kind of wish I was with you guys. It sounds like y'all are partying. It's a little funner there than where I'm at.
Yeah. So it's funny because I just realized that you were brought into the conversation as we were doing a little joke around. And I was like, oh, that's great.
Oh, yeah. You're like, whoops, didn't know the tape was rolling on that one.
Yeah.
I know, man. Amy set me up, dude. Totally.
That's funny. How y'all doing? You good?
We're good. How are you doing?
I'm very, very good. Couldn't be better at the moment.
Well, Paul, I don't know if Amy explained it to you, but we are basically a fan run by fans and for fans. That's what our broadcast is all about. So a lot of our questions were sent in either from fans of you from online or other hosts that were fans. So we've got a bunch of questions for you, and we're just going to jump right in and ask you some questions.
Let's do it.
All right. Well, first of all, how was your Blood on the Beach experience? Because I heard you guys had a rock out time down there.
Yeah, it was cool. You know, I haven't quite figured out how I ended up in that mix because... you know, obviously I'm not a horror actor at this moment, and it's not like I'm in, like, Alice Cooper or, you know, Rob Zombie or something. So it's kind of a little weird, but it's cool because I'm a huge fan of the horror genre. I always have been since I was, like, 11 years old, and my mom started letting me watch these crazy movies at such a young age, which is probably explained what's wrong with me throughout my life. But anyway, that's a different story. But I've always been a fan, so I just thought the first time I got asked to do one, I just thought it would be really cool to go and rub shoulders and meet these people and kind of just hang out. And what I've realized is that it ends up being a crazy party. You know, everybody just gets drunk at the hotel bar. And, you know, I sat in and played a song with my buddy Jonathan Tiersten, who was in Sleepaway Camp, so that was kind of cool, and it was just a good time. It's just a good way to mingle.
Yeah, we always have a good time when we go to conventions too. It's pretty much the same experience: getting drunk and being stupid and hanging out with good friends and meeting new people.
That's pretty much what it is. It's meeting people and getting drunk with them. I've realized that's what those conventions are all about on the behind the scenes of it. And
yeah.
I have no problem with that. I'm a fan of that, so it works out for me.
Hey, you just mentioned that you weren't a horror actor yet. Something you would be open to doing?
You know, that's kind of a weird thing that's kind of come up on just being involved in these. And it's something that's in, you know, very early stages, but it's something that's been talked about, and I've actually looked at a script already, and who knows, you know, who knows? It could be something or it could be nothing, but, you know, as an artist, you're always open to doing different things. that challenge you artistically, whether it be musically or visually or whatever. So I'm kind of excited about it, and we'll, you know, like I said, I'm kind of feeling it out, seeing where it goes.
Okay, cool. Well, good luck with that.
Thank you very much.
I would totally have you back on if you do get something. That would be awesome.
Yeah, we'll do a little follow up.
Nice.
I'll have a new remix for you. put that on the soundtrack.
I like it. Sounds good.
So actually, one of our fans wrote in and they asked, "What was your favorite tour that you guys did, and who was on the lineup?"
The favorite tour I ever did. That's tough. There's been a lot that were cool. I mean, I remember like our first tour, like our first big tour we did, you know, we were all kids and, you know, fans of so many bands that were making it. And I remember, you know, getting signed and making a record. And I was a huge Deftones fan at the time. I mean, I still am. But I remember, you know, management going, "You're going to go out all summer with Godsmack and the Deftones." And, you know, I was 24 years old just going, "Oh, my God, are you kidding me? Like, really? I'm going to go hang out with these bands all summer? This is amazing." And obviously, as you have success, you know, you do stuff like that. And, you know, unfortunately, the excitement of that sort of thing kind of wears off. But I just remember, like, you know, being just so bright-eyed and green and not knowing what was going on and just loving life, not caring the world. So that was a really cool one. For that reason.
Yeah, I could see that.
Yeah, I would definitely have a heart attack if I found out I was going on tour with Deftones and Godsmack.
Yeah, you know, I mean, when you first get signed, you know, it's kind of, and you haven't done that yet, you know, then it's really, really, it just hits you. You're like, wow, I'm actually, like, doing this. I'm not a kid in my room playing guitar anymore. I'm actually going on tour with bands that I like, so this is cool.
Awesome. All right, well, speaking of that and tours, do you have any pre-show rituals? And if you do, what are they?
I do, and they're pretty strict, and I've been doing them for years, and it usually involves Pantera blasting really, really loud, one of my favorite bands of all time, and that usually gets me into mode to go out and play. And then I like to have a few shots, kind of loosen up. You know, you don't want to get too loose to where you can't play anymore, because I've done that before too, and that's a big oops when you get on stage and it kicks in. You're like, uh-oh, I had a few too many. Let me keep my feet down, plant your foot. So try not to make it to that point, but there's a happy medium of loosening up, you know, and because it's not easy to go up there and act a fool, the monkey in front of thousands of people that are got all eyes on you, you know. It's because I'm a pretty shy guy normally off stage, but you know, judging by my persona on stage, you would never know that. So, you know, there's a little ritual that goes into it to get my headspace where it needs to be.
Totally. That's like kind of like Jim Morrison. He would never like look at the crowd because he was too shy. That's pretty crazy.
Yeah, it's odd. You think people that go up on stage wouldn't be like that, but I've talked to so many people and met so many people who really are, you know, and still have stage fright to this day. And it takes a lot of doing for them to get up on stage. I've met so many people that are like that, and then you see them on stage and they're, you know, a rock god and just bring it and delivering it, and you would never know that the whole time they're really, really fighting it.
Yeah, we went to go see Straight Line Stitch, and the lead singer, she wouldn't look at the crowd, but she was, like, just jamming out. And that was my cousin's first concert, and he was like, "Dude, why isn't she looking at the crowd?" I was like, "It's her thing, man."
Yeah, you know, everybody's got their thing, you know. And, yeah, we call those people shoegazers. You know, they just kind of gaze down at their shoes.
She was snapping her head. She was getting it.
Right. Dig it.
Another question is, what's your favorite tour story? Because I know a lot of crazy stuff goes on tour. Is there like a crazy story that's your favorite?
There's so many. Like, all the stories that you hear are pretty much true. they do happen, and some are PG and some are not so much PG. And I've even forgot a lot of this stuff. People bring things up to me, I'm like, oh my gosh, I completely forgot about that. There was one recently, though, that was pretty funny. I believe it was in Jacksonville, North Carolina. I live in Jacksonville, Florida, but I believe it's Jacksonville, North Carolina. And we were playing this venue, and there was a swamp behind it. And one of the opening bands was a band called Shaman's Harvest, which is a really, really cool band. I think they're doing a new record now. But the lead singer got, I hate to throw him on the bus, but oh well, he did it. He deserved it. There was a gator in the swamp behind there. And for some reason, he thought when he got drunk, it would be funny to get naked and go and try to swim with the gator. Now, how he didn't get eaten and shredded to pieces, I have no idea, but he tried his best to get eaten and shredded to pieces. So while
Why
the whole
would you
rest
do
of
that?
It, I have no idea. No clue what makes you, I mean, it has something
alcohol.
To do with whatever's in, I was going to say whatever's in alcohol, you know, so.
You get that
but,
brain stupid. And you're like, I could
But yeah,
that
I mean, that's the thing is that. The road gets boring, and I think that's why so many crazy stories happen is because you're just stuck on a bus, and then you start drinking, and then it's like, what are we going to do for fun? And it usually involves breaking something, burning something down, or getting naked, or something that the next morning was never as good an idea as it was the night before.
Oh, man. I had a friend who decided that he was going to try and jump over a campfire one time. Didn't quite make it.
Yeah, see, those ideas are great when you're drunk, but then, you know, in hindsight, you're like, that was not a good idea at all. I probably shouldn't have done that. So, yeah, I mean, I've got millions of stories like that of my own, you know,
right.
Silly, crazy stuff.
Yeah, that's what happens when you drink liquid stupid. But
that's exactly what happened.
But actually, I have another fan that wrote in, is there any chance of an operator reunion?
There is a chance of operator reunion, and I've been talking with Mr. Johnny Strong, the singer of Operator, and actually talked with him today, as a matter of fact. And it's that's another thing that's in the initial stages that may or may not happen, but it has definitely been talked about, and I'm definitely open to it because it was a you know, the record we put out, Soul Crusher, is an album that I'm very proud of and, you know, had a great time doing it. And, you know, looks like the door may be open, so we'll play that one by ear, too. We'll have another follow-up for that one.
Nice. Sounds good. I've got another fan question actually came through. And it says, how long have you been with Paul Reed Smith Guitars?
I've been with Paul Reed Smith from the very beginning. I was always a Les Paul guy. And as soon as we started out in Puddle, before the record even came out, they got an advanced copy of it. I don't even know how, probably from management or the label or something. And they courted me right off the get-go. And they have been extremely good to me throughout the years and very supportive. And they make a fantastic guitar. I couldn't see myself playing anything else now since I've been on them for so many years. You know, there's other great guitars out there, but for some reason, Paul Reed Smith is just—it's just what I want to play and what I continue to play.
Nice. Yeah. Well, listen, hey, if you're ever looking to branch out, I know a guy who actually makes guitars, Equilibrium guitars, and they're pretty hot. So.
Oh, okay. Cool.
Putting it out there.
I think I think Paul Reed Smith would get mad at you, but that's all right.
No, it's all good. It's all good. Each guitar has its own sound. It's all good, but, you know.
Got it. What's it called again? I'm sorry?
They're called Equilibrium Guitars.
Equilibrium. Okay, I'll check them out. I'll see what it's I'll get online and do some research.
Yeah, tell them I sent you, because I should get a kickback from that one.
There you go. So you need to be artist relations for them. Sign people
well,
up.
I do a lot of leather work, so I'm trying to get in doing their guitar shops for them. So if they sell more guitars, I get to sell guitar shops, so it's all good.
Oh, okay. All right. I see how that works. A little co-branding. I like it.
Yeah, it's awesome.
All right, I have a question for you. I've seen a lot of your interviews, and in them, you're talking about the way you write your music and everything. and you say it usually starts with an acoustic guitar. But my mm-hmm. question is, it's kind of funny because I like the show Metalocalypse, and mm-hmm. I remember watching the Troll episodes, and they didn't know how to read music. Do you know how to read and write music, like scales and bars, notes?
No idea. No clue.
No clue.
No clue whatsoever.
Me neither.
I don't
feel so bad.
I think you'll find most creative, successful musicians, and when I say creative, I mean that are doing their own thing as opposed to, like, a crazy orchestra or something who's sight-reading other people's stuff, who are amazing, ungodly musicians, people who can read in time and play it in time. That's unbelievable to me that you can do that. Much respect to you, but I think the people who don't sit in their bedroom and learn all that stuff are the ones that are writing songs instead. Like, I started playing guitar when I was 15 and, basically taught myself Metallica's Master of Puppets front to back. That's what I learned how to play guitar on, and then instantly started writing songs. I had my first band when I was 17 and just never sat. I mean, sometimes I wish I had, because, you know, I would love to be able to do Eddie Van Halen tricks, you know, at birthday parties just to show off to people. Like, hey, look what I can do. But, you know what I mean? Like, I can't,
oh, yeah.
You know? And I kind of think that's, what it's worth, really, is just showing off and being like, hey, look at this trick I can do. And I don't really think it's worth much more than that unless you have a song that you're laying it over. So I think
right.
a lot of those people who spend all their time doing that end up teaching lessons or working at Guitar Center.
Right. I just always curious about that because, you know, on the show, they're like big time stars and, like, they have to put this troll to sleep and they give them sheet music and they're like, you know? So
yeah.
Mine's
all ear, and people are shocked to hear that a lot of times. Like, how do you play guitar without knowing notes or music or anything? I'm like, you just know if it sounds good or not. You know, it's like, if it sounds like it works, you know,
yeah.
and by learning other people's songs as well, and you learn what works, and you start figuring things out, like, oh, okay, that works together, and that works together, you know, and then you apply that to your own music. So, yeah, for most creative writing musicians that I've come across, it's all just ear.
Yeah, it's kind of like freestyling, rapping, kind of.
Yeah, kind of like that, just kind of throwing
yeah.
it, throwing it out and letting it flow. Isn't that what it is? The flow? Yeah, something like that, yeah. That's my
right.
flow that I'm laying down.
That's your flow. All right, another question about interviews that I've seen of yours. You said, I've seen a couple of them, and in your interviews you said that early on in your career you were more of an anti-establishment kind of guy. Are you still kind of that way, or has that kind of changed?
No, it's kind of changed, and, you know, it's kind of unfortunate because when, you know, in Pato, we came out so big, like, right off the get-go and had so many opportunities and so many cool things going on that at the time I didn't like and I didn't appreciate. Like, I didn't want to be on Top 40 Radio, and I didn't want to be on VH1, and as much as the money's nice selling millions of records, I didn't really care about that, you know, at the time. And, you know, as you get older and you kind of mellow out, you realize, like, it's all a game. That's all it is. It's just, you're just playing the game, you know? And as you get older, you learn to appreciate that. And I look back and I'm like, wow, I really wish I wasn't so miserable all the time back then, because I really was. And you know, as much fun like it should have been, it wasn't for me for a lot of times. I mean, I connect with, you know, I read about, you know, Kurt Cobain and stuff, and, you know, that ultimately led to his demise, which he was kind of going through the same thing, obviously on a much grander scale than what I was going through, but I kind of had the same thing because I came up, you know, real metal and punk rock and very anti-pop music, and we kind of got pushed down the pop pipeline and became a pop rock band, and, you know, there was some guilt with it with me, and so a lot of the things that I should have been really happy about and appreciative of, I wasn't.
Right. Yeah, that's – I know. I noticed that you said on a lot of your interviews that you were more punk rock than more than anything, and it kind of – you were, like, thrown into this world of, like, one minute you're in college and the next minute you're on stage in front of millions.
Yeah, And once it starts, when you're on a major label, and once it starts going, you really just lose control. I mean, once the ball starts rolling, you have no control anymore at all. Things just happen so fast, and you know, the next thing you know, you're on TRL with the Backstreet Boys, and you're like, "What am I doing?" You know what I mean? It's like
you kind of feel like a sellout.
I'm not even exaggerating. You know what I mean?
Right,
and it's
yeah.
like, dude, I was just listening to Minor Threat in my headphones, like, why am I on stage with the Backstreet Boys now? This is crazy. You know, so those things just really mess with my mind. And, yeah, it's the whole sellout thing, you know. I'm like, oh, my God, I'm the biggest sellout in the world right now.
Well, you could have looked at it, but see, back in the TRL days, you could have looked at it like that, or they had, like, the rock versus pop. So it was kind of like you were their enemy and y'all were face-to-face. Look at it like that.
Yeah. Yeah, and like I said, as I've gotten older and mellowed out, I look back at that now and I'm like, wow, I can't believe I was lucky enough to have that happen, because there's, you know, 98% of the world who will never know what that's all about,
yeah.
You know, and going through those experiences. So as I've mellowed out, I've learned to appreciate things like that and opportunities that come my way a lot more.
That's awesome.
Nice. Hey, Paul, we've been doing some research, interview research before, and we're going through a couple interviews, and there was this one interview where you said that you actually dropped out of college not once, but twice to follow your dreams. And the next question that I have kind of goes along with that, and the fan wrote in and said, what would you be doing if you were not doing music? And in the interview, you mentioned that you were only like a month away from graduation. What were you studying? What were you planning on doing?
Yeah, that's correct. Yeah, I did drop out twice. Once was for my band Pre-Puddle that Fred Durst wanted to sign. So I dropped out of college, you know, because I instantly thought I was a millionaire, which I can tell you that doesn't happen. That's the myth of bands, is that you're instantly a millionaire, and you're definitely not. But so I dropped out of college then. That band kind of broke up, so I went back to college, and I was going for a double major in management and marketing. And yeah, kid you not, I was literally like a month and a half away from graduating when I got the call from Fred Durst's assistant that this new band that he was signing needed a guitar player. So, and I actually wrestled with the decision for a second, because I had already gone down that road, and I'm like, man, do I want to go down this road again? And something told me to go and give it one more try. You know, I wasn't getting any younger. So I went, and luckily that one panned out, obviously, and, you know, I didn't have to go back to college, and hopefully never will go back to college. But
right.
being that I was going management and marketing, I really had it in my mindset that I was just going to be a suit and tie guy, and that's just what it was. What was going to happen. I was going to be like everybody else. I was going to be fat and bald and miserable, working behind a desk somewhere. So thank God that didn't happen.
I
think about that now. Yeah, I think about that now, and I'm like, there's no way I could work a real job. There's no – at that time, I could. But now I'm like, oh, my gosh, things would be so much different if I had gone that fast. So
assuming – well, let's just say that you're not doing music now in your current state. Is there something else, or is there another hobby that that you would like to pursue?
Well, I just – just recently, I did a bunch of music for, you know, the Nitro Circus TV show with Travis Pastrana and that crew. Are you familiar with that?
Yes.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
Okay, yeah, well, they have a movie coming out.
That was actually our next question.
Oh, okay. Yeah, all right. Well, I made their acquaintance, and they were actually – I had them be in a Puddle video, actually. They made a guest appearance. And so we've stayed in contact, and – they contacted me about doing some music very shortly after my departure from Puddle, which was kind of weird. But I jumped at the chance to do that, and I actually had a blast doing it. I had so much fun, and, you know, I scored a couple sections, and then I just supplied just random music, background music, and really got into doing that. And I've got a few more of those projects that are close to closing right now for a few other movies, so definitely into doing that. And other than that, at the moment I've just been on the road for 12 years straight, so I'm actually enjoying being at home. I live at the beach, and actually being home in the summertime and not being on some crazy summer tour living in a tube. So I've actually just enjoyed being at home and not doing that much. It's been great.
Yeah, R&R, you can't beat that stuff.
Yeah, like I said, we've been touring for 12 years straight, and I'm always on the road, so it's been great to be home and be able to work on music projects from my house as opposed to being on the road, so that's been awesome.
Okay, so yeah, seeing as how we've gotten into that, about mm-hmm. Nitro Circus,
uh-huh.
and you know that, you know, like you said, you did do some of the music for it, and you also did some for the 3D movie, right?
Yeah, that's what I did the music for. They approached me for the 3D movie that's going to be, I know they're shopping around right now, but I think it should be out this year, later this year. I mean, it's done, post-production's done, so should be out later this year. And, you know, the clips that I saw are pretty funny. It's exactly what you expect it to be.
Travis Pastrana is a crazy dude.
Yeah, he's actually
Andy Bell too. Andy Bell is—he just tries to outdo him every chance.
Yeah, and trust me, he does. I've seen it in firsthand. It's pretty funny. But yeah, Travis has his debut. I think it's on right now, actually, on NASCAR. He's going to be a NASCAR racer now.
Yeah. My grandpa was telling me about that. I don't watch NASCAR, but he was like, "This Travis guy." I was like, "You better watch out for him because everything he does pretty much turns to gold."
Yeah, but, no fear will get you far in that road.
Oh yeah, no kidding. How was writing the music for the movie different from, you know, all the other stuff that you've done, like, you know, record albums?
It was different in that it wasn't what I do in Puddle or what I do in Operator. It was completely different, and they would give me kind of what they were looking for. They even gave me some reference songs, like something like this, something in this vein is what we're looking for. So it was very challenging for me to deliver something that was in that vein as opposed to me just going and writing a song that sounds like something I would write. So it was very different in that aspect, is that I was writing for somebody else as opposed to writing for myself, which I've never really done before. You know, there's a lot of songwriters out there that obviously write for people and with them in mind, but I've never necessarily done that before. So it was a totally different thing. And it was, you know, it was something that was inspiring for me, gave me, like I said, again, as an artist, a chance to do something different that I haven't done.
Did you actually have, like, footage of what you were writing the song for in front of you, or was it more or less, like, come up with something and we'll put it with something?
A little bit of both. There were some particular scenes that they needed that I would work on specifically, and then there was just other just random stuff that I just threw out, and I have a partner here that I work with in Jacksonville in his studio, and so we would just load it up and look at the scene and try to time it out best as possible and, you know, compare notes and just have at it. And it was, like I said, it was a lot of fun.
That's awesome.
By the way, I want to give a shout-out to Karen Puddle of Mud Rock On in our chat room. That's her screen name. She's the one that asked the original question about Nitro.
Yeah, she's the official Puddle of Mud historian. She knows more about me than I do. You should probably interview her. She's probably got her facts straighter than I do. I was drunk through half it all. I don't remember. She knows it all, though.
She's like the flash drive right there.
Yeah, exactly. I borrow some of that every now and then, fill in the spots that are kind of missing.
I hear that. Okay, you have said that you were a big fan of Pantera and you were a big fan of Dimebag Darrell.
Mm-hmm.
Did you ever get to meet him before his untimely death?
Yeah, and that was actually... I'm pretty... I don't mean to say well, I guess. You get kind of jaded, you know, when you do this for a while and things slowly start to wear off, you know, and things don't faze you like they used to just because you've been around it so much that you're kind of used to it. But he was one of the and so I usually don't get giddy around people, but it wasn't Pantera. It was Damage Plan, the band they had after Pantera. And we were on a few shows together. And I was one of the guys that I just got really giddy about because I was such a huge, huge fan. I mean, just massive fan and, like, one of my favorite guitar players, top two for sure. So a buddy of mine literally grabbed me by the shirt and dragged me over to meet him. And he was just the nicest guy. And anybody will tell you that who's ever met him. He just takes you in. And I just immediately went into my stupid schoolgirl speech about how I was a huge fan and, you know, he really influenced me and all that. And I just remember him, you know, in his Texas, he was just like, oh, that's that. Take a shot. And I was like, okay. So took a shot, took several more shots, and then ended up in a limo with him going out to the club afterwards. And I'm just, you know, it's just one of those moments where, you know, I'm flashing back to me being 15, Pantera posters all over my room, and then I'm looking over at the man in his limo going out to a club with him and drinking like nothing's going on. I'm just like, wow, this is just, that was another one of those moments, like getting that opening your first opening slot in arenas, you know, and then having something like that happen. So yeah, it was cool. So I was definitely, you know, fortunate enough to hang out with him, and I wasn't shy. There was the editor of Metal Edge magazine, which is no longer around, but he was there covering the show as well. And I went up to him. I'm like, you got to get a photo and you got to run it in the magazine. Me and Dom, you have to do it. And sure enough, he did it. So I'm lucky for that too, that I have that on my wall, you know, so to mark that glorious evening that we had.
That's awesome, dude. That is totally awesome. And I hear you met Jimmy Page as well.
Yeah, that was a weird thing too. We had a tour manager back on our first record, Come Clean, who was really good friends with Jimmy's assistant. So every time we were in London, he would bring him out. And looking over on the side of the stage and seeing Jimmy Page, that's a pretty crazy moment too. I remember, like, the first time he came in the dressing room, I had to leave. I was like, I don't even know what to say to this. This guy has heard it all. Like, what am I going to say to this guy that he hasn't heard 20 times already today? You know? So I had to, like, leave the room and collect my thoughts. I'm like, wow, that's, like, one of the reasons for rock and roll, arena rock right there. So.
Exactly.
So we have a lot of people, and we've, in the past, we've done a lot of interviews with up-and-coming bands, people who are trying to basically break into the business, make it big, and some of them have some good starts and others kind of don't know where to start. What would be the best advice that you could give an up-and-coming band?
An up-and-coming band in this day and age? Quit. Get a real job.
Oh, no.
He said become fat and bald and sitting
in the office. Man, the state of the industry now with the internet, I'm just like, good luck, you know. No, I don't want to be that big of a pessimist, but it is definitely tougher now than it used to be. And as a result of that, labels aren't throwing money at baby bands like they used to. So my suggestion to any band is you have to do as much as you can do by yourself and hustle, build up Facebook, tour on your own, buy your own band, print up your own merch, get your YouTube channel going, and just get as many things as you can have going. Meet the local promoter in your town to put you on the local shows and meet the bands you're playing with, and, you know, just hustle. And because the more you have going on, the less of a risk it is for a label to put money into you. You know, put your record, do your own record, put it on iTunes, get a buzz going, because no, the days of sending a demo to a label and having them want to sign you is gone. That is not going to happen. There's just no money. I mean, you go into record labels nowadays and there's tumbleweeds blowing through there, you know, and that's all effect of the internet. So, like I said, it's all about building up yourself on your own.
Yeah, it seems like nowadays it'd be better for you to not be signed and, like, make your own music and put it out on iTunes.
You can do that. That's the thing nowadays.
Yeah.
You can do everything yourself. Even from, like, making a video. I mean, the prices of HD cameras have gone down. It's like, make your own video. Put it on YouTube, you know, and promote the hell out of it on Facebook and make your own music to where you own everything and you sell it on iTunes. I mean, are you going to sell 50,000? Maybe not. Are you going to sell 100,000? Probably not, you know, but there's money to be made at selling anything. And if you start doing that, people will take notice and realize that something's going on because people are watching, but they're just waiting for you to get their attention by doing your own thing.
That's good advice.
Mm-hmm.
All right. So everybody take note, make it happen.
Take note and make it happen. Be proactive.
Yes. Yes. So we have some silly questions for you. They're not too silly, but some of them are. So the first one was, we hear you love surfing. Would you ever consider being in Point Break remake movie?
Hell yeah, sign me up. I'm down.
You can take over Anthony.
I'll be Patrick Swayze because he's not with it. He's not with us anymore, so I can pull that off. And I can actually surf. He had a surfing double, but I can actually surf, so I do all my own stunts. Dude, it's a win-win.
Right. Cool. So our next question is, in the impending zombie apocalypse, who would you want to have at your side?
Impending zombie apocalypse, who would I want to have on my side?
Yeah, who do you want to watch your ass?
probably Schwarzenegger. He's pretty badass in everything he's ever done. I mean, he's getting a little bit older, but I think
he's getting a little old. You might want to rethink that one.
No, he's still got that Conan sword though. He's still got that thing packed away, and I bet you he can wield it. So I'm gonna stick with Schwarzenegger.
All right,
Sly is on the sidelines again.
And then when we defeat the zombie apocalypse and rise back up, he can be the governor of the new land. See how I'm thinking here? You gotta think things through, see? And then I'll be like second in line because we're bros.
Gotta watch out for those housemates.
I was born here, so see, I'll be second in line and then I can be president, unlike him.
There you go.
That's true.
Thinking big here.
Yeah,
that's right.
Paul Phillips taking over the world.
That's it.
Okay, so here's a ridiculous question. If you were a jelly bean, which flavor would you be?
Vodka.
Vodka, nice.
Yep.
That's the first alcoholic one we've gotten.
That's what I would be.
Actually,
no, but they
that?
Should. I would eat jelly beans if they did.
Yeah.
Dude, let's make that happen. I'm fixing to go hunting to see if they make
it. See what I'm saying? Yeah. That's a good idea.
Give me some of that Captain Morgan. I'll be all over that.
I think they should do that. I think there should be alcoholic candies.
That's a new project. That's what we should do.
I like it.
Know,
see, we're making things happen here. I like this.
Yeah,
exactly.
We're
see, they got rum
ideas.
Bread. We can have vodka jelly bean.
See, why not?
Exactly.
And then you could play, and then you could have like you know flavored ones, and then it'll be like you're having Cosmos or something. You know, like an apple martini.
Yeah.
I'm down.
Yeah.
Just leave out the Midori sour. That's a little too much for me.
Yeah. I'm not big on that either. That's a rookie drink.
Yeah.
That's a beginner. That's a novice drink.
Yeah, that's a novice. Like, ooh, it tastes so good. I love it.
That's like when you were in high school, and that's the only thing you could get your hands on.
That's like
people were like, dude, exactly. I got so messed up on Boone's Farm last night.
Strawberry Hill. Remember Strawberry Hill?
Exactly.
That's funny. I love it.
Oh, God. Last silly question. If you could be a superhero, which superhero would you be and why?
Let me think about that. See, that's a good journalism. Let's see. What would a superhero would I be?
Ridiculous journalism, but thanks for
playing
along.
We're really in-depth over here.
No, you know what? I would be Ghost Rider because...
Nice.
Oh,
that's the first.
But not Nicolas Cage Ghost Rider. Don't get confused.
No.
I'd be
no.
actual Ghost Rider.
I think
the skull, the flames, and the Harley, you really can't go wrong with that. I think that's a pretty good combo for me.
Yeah.
Well, which Ghost Rider, Dan Ketch or Johnny Blaze?
Brandon, your geek is showing.
Yeah, I know, but his show first. His show first, all right?
I did, I'm sorry.
You know, I would take either one. I just can't believe, I just don't know why they did Nicolas Cage. That really bothered me. I couldn't, but
yeah.
I thought that was the worst casting possibly of all time.
Really?
I think they're coming out with a part two now or something. I'm just like, really? You didn't learn any lesson on the first one? Okay.
Actually, I watched the second. Actually, the second one's pretty good. He's like, it's not as over the top, and the effects are actually really good. It's really crazy. It's totally
different.
Yeah, it's not, you know how the first one was kind of, it was kind of campy?
Cheesy, campy?
Yeah.
Any of those would work.
This one is like, it's like, kind of like, I guess, I'd say Ghost Rider meets XXX, the movie XXX.
Oh, yeah, okay,
so,
all right.
Yeah, so it's a little more gritty, and it's not as campy, and it's
Well, that's
like,
how it should
darker.
Be, I mean, it's... Yeah, it's such dark imagery, you know. I don't know why you would make it so campy and cheesy. I'm like, make it dark, you know, like the...
Exactly.
You know, like the last Batman movie, you know, when it got all dark and kind of twisted. Like, go that route with it.
Exactly. I wish more movies would do that.
I concur. Right, so we're making alcoholic jelly beans, and we're making dark superhero movies. I like it.
Yes.
Exactly.
Oh, well... Well, you've been with us. Thank you for staying so long with us and trudging through our ridiculous questions.
You know what? I like stuff like that. It makes a little monotony of where'd you get your band name from. You know what I mean?
Right. Yeah. Well, we figured by now everybody knows. So.
Yeah, I would hope so.
Right. So do you have any future projects that you can share with us now, like things that you are definitely working on in the near future or...
I do not. Nothing in stone. Like I said, we've kind of discussed a few things that, you know, are kind of floating around out there. And, you know, we'll see which one sticks to the wall, so to speak, and which route I'm going to go on that. But as far as definite, like doing it tomorrow, nothing right now.
Okay. Oh,
okay, I just got the cue to break in. Okay, it was an awesome interview. There's a lot of people in the chat room. And before we let you go, we have, well, first I want to know about the cake lady. Everybody's like, ask about the cake lady. What the hell is the cake lady?
The cake lady?
Yeah.
I don't know unless they're the cake lady. I'm trying to think.
Maybe
you find it. Hold
a
on.
Maybe they're talking about the caterer? Oh, that's probably what they're talking about. I don't know that I may answer the wrong question or the right answer to whatever that wording is.
I don't know if it helps. Edwina Tulsa, Oklahoma asked, so I don't know if that helps.
I think it might have been craziest fan moment, what a fan did to get to you.
Oh, okay, there we go. Yeah, it's the caterer. Yeah, we called her the caterer. No, she... dressed up in like a baker's uniform or something like that. I don't really remember, but it was like apron and name tag and the whole thing, and had a cake and managed to get by security because she said she had a delivery for Puddle of Mud that we had ordered a cake for somebody's birthday. And security actually let her walk right on by and walk right into our dressing room. And
oh
she
my
just
God.
Brought us And she brought us a cake. And the funny thing was she wasn't crazy. She wasn't like, oh, my God. No. I'll never, ever do that.
I was
going to
say,
No. So I can't confirm it or not that she was crazy on that part of it.
Right.
But just in, like, her converse, like, she just walked in and, like, just started talking, like, nothing, like, no big deal. And she wasn't, like, crying or going crazy or anything. So it was really weird. But I think that was, you know, I thought that was very well thought out, very well played. I had to give her, you know, props for that. I'm like, good job, you know. Good job on getting back there. That works for you.
I'm going to try.
No, Amy.
Hell no, I ain't doing that.
Why not? If we can't go with our press badges, let's try this way. It would be
no,
funnier.
Amy, there is nowhere that you can't go. Let me tell you.
Yeah, if you go to a show, go with Amber. She'll get you everywhere.
Yeah. Just be determined and act like you belong there.
Exactly. That's what you do.
It doesn't hurt to have a press badge.
No, it doesn't hurt.
All right,
oh, that doesn't hurt at all. That worked well.
Yeah. All right, so, Paul, if I show up to one of your shows in a baker's outfit and a cake, will you eat cake with me?
No, I will not.
Good answer.
But I don't eat cake. I don't eat cake anyway. So,
okay.
No offense. No offense, cake,
right.
Mother.
All right. How about a salad?
Brandon, that question could go in so many wrong ways, and I know you didn't mean it that way.
He's got something in his cup that's not water.
I don't know.
Exactly. What do you call them? It's the jelly beans.
So on that note, seeing that we have kept Paul for 46 minutes, we're going to ask him to do our clip that we get all of our guests to do. Just say your name and you're listening to the VRO. You can add anything you want to add into it, and then we'll let you go.
All right. What's up? This is Paul Phillips, Puddle of Mud, an operator, and you're listening to the VRO. Watch out for the vodka jelly beans.
I love it. And that's going to be playing on our anniversary show with all of our other clips for this year, which our anniversary show is on the 11th of May. So you guys come back and listen to that, and you never know, we might get Paul to call back in.
There you go.
But thank you for joining us tonight.
You got it. No problem. Thanks for having me.
Okay,
thanks,
we'll talk
Paul.
Soon.
Thanks, Paul.
Okay, guys, yeah, that was Paul Phillips.
I love him. I can't believe I hung out with him all weekend. That was great.
Oh, it was so much fun. And Cindy in the chat room, I'm Cindy Bitch. I actually sent her in to do my recon first before I went.
Nice.
Yeah, before I slid in and was like, oh, yeah, I sent her to do my recon. I want to thank everybody for joining us tonight in the chat room. You guys have been awesome. Everybody that logged in with the username, thank you for joining with the username so we could chat with you and all that stuff. We didn't get to everybody's questions because we really were only going to keep Paul for 20 minutes, and we kept him for 47 minutes. So he's a rock star, like everybody already knows. But we have some great interviews coming up in our Vampire Diaries month of May. We actually have a Secret Circle interview this coming Monday, and then we jump into our Vampire Diaries month of May with a little twist, because we're actually going to have a couple of bands on. We're going to have Kingsley on. And they are an awesome band. I met their keyboardist a couple of months ago when I hung out with Randy Wayne from the Lion Games. And Stephen Limbaugh, Stephen Limbaugh. He is an awesome musician, and he is going to be joining us to talk about his band. And then if you're in the Los Angeles area, you can watch them play on the 18th. But we've got a couple of private shows. We're doing a private interview with Taylor Hicks, the American Idol winner, and that will air in May. And then the rest of our interviews will be Vampire Diaries related and a couple of more bands. So definitely check out our website. It's www.thevro.com. You can follow us on Twitter at @thevro. And if you want to follow the host, I'm Amy VRO. Jess is VRO Jess. And then Brandon, what is yours?
Darth Bronk SS68.
Okay, Brandon, you're really going to have to change that.
We'll Twitter it from the VRO.
If you're new to our show, thank you so much for joining us. I see there's a lot of guests in the chat room. For future reference, if you log in with a username and a password like Karen and Kyle and Paula, and wow, I feel like I'm on the Rumble Room, and Sydney, then you can actually participate in the chat, ask questions and stuff like that. And also, if you are new to the VRO altogether, we have a ton of shows that we do. We are not just music. We are not just Vampire Diaries. We're doing Game of Thrones. We're doing The Walking Dead. We're doing Secret Circle. We're doing
NCIS.
We do it all.
We even do shows. We have a show called This, That, and the Other that it's our ADD show. We'll be talking about one thing and then jump to something else. And then
you'll be most likely to hear me and Brandon beatboxing on that show.
Our late night shows where
the insomnia sessions.
We do get dirty on that one.
Drunk and dirty.
Yeah, we just let loose on that one. That's a show that a lot of you guys need to call into. No, we haven't done one of those in a while, Brandon.
What's the sex show?
Yeah, we haven't done one of those in a while.
No, we usually take those down. So if you don't catch them live, you don't catch them.
Yeah, if you don't catch them live, you don't catch those. Because we'll have like some of our past guests call into those shows. So if you're not catching it live, you're not
I think we've had Matt Davis on. We've had Steven Martinez. We've had a bunch of people come on and get drunk and dirty with us on air, and then we've had to take them down.
I'm going to tell this story real quick. My favorite one is when Steven Martinez called in and Kelly McClung.
Yeah.
And it was like battle over Amy.
Oh, God.
I was like, okay, Steven and Kelly, no, never going to happen. Love you boys too much.
Oh, they like to talk, those men, I have to say. That's the best interview.
Yeah.
People talk themselves.
Yeah.
But I had an absolute fantastic time with Paul. I'm kind of jealous. I'm kind of crushing on Paul. I'm jealous that Amy got to hang out with him, and...
He's a really cool guy. He really is. Like I said in my recap show of Blood on the Beach, I was a little intimidated. That's why I sent Cindy in first to be my filler. And you know me, I don't get intimidated.
No, Amy's got beer flavor nipples, as we all know. And that's why I said she can get anywhere, because as long as it's a man or a woman that goes that way. She can pretty much get anywhere that she needs to get.
What can I say? I have the power. I'm like She-Ra, Princess of Power.
Yes.
I told the waitress, while we were in Virginia Beach at Blood at the Beach, we went to Ruby Tuesdays. It was next to the hotel. And she was asking our names because she was putting them down on... I guess the slip and stuff. So she asked Elizabeth. Elizabeth said Elizabeth. Donna's like Donna. She looks at me. I was like, I didn't look at her. I was like, She-Ra.
She-Ra.
Yeah. And she wrote it down. She was like, She-Ra. She was like, that's an unusual name. I was like, yeah, he meant my brother.
Did she laugh?
She still didn't get it.
Oh, no.
I was like, really? I said He-Man.
Cindy is in the chat room. She just cracked me up. She's like, Cindy says, I always wanted to know about Amy's nipples.
That's how I do it, Cindy.
It's all about the beer.
That's how I do it.
I cannot believe all these people are still listening to us be stupid on air. Thank you so much.
This is how our This, That, and the Other show goes. And we normally have, it would either be me and Jess or me and our co-host Josh, which Josh just had surgery. So I want to thank everybody for sending his him love and prayers and good thoughts and all that good stuff. They took out his pancreas. So, or they cut something in his pancreas or something like that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So you got to be all right.
He's got a long recovery time coming up. And
yeah.
Yeah,
he, we partied, because, you know, we're friends with Jennifer Coolidge.
Yeah.
Stifler's mom.
Yeah.
You know, party.
Way to drop a name, Amy. Way to drop a name.
Got that right. You guys got to go watch American Pie, The Reunion. If you haven't seen it yet, you need to go see it. There might be a possibility. Well, there is a possibility that you'll see Josh. And you won't see me because I didn't work that movie. But you guys got to go. Shut up.
I'm sorry. I don't know where that came from.
You guys definitely need to go watch that movie. It's awesome. I see a couple of people are saying they got to go check out our archives. If you want, like, random recap shows, you have to do it on the Blog Talk Radio page. But if you want, like, interviews, yeah, you can just go to our website and check out all our archives there. But I think
all
I
right.
took the Blood Beach, Blood on the Beach recap show down. I think I took that one down.
Oh. Well, but anyway, there's tons of stuff on there. I mean, we're coming up on our 4-year anniversary. So, I mean, we started off as Moonlight Radio, and you can see over the 4 years how we've progressed and expanded and changed names. And
if you want some funny stories and you want to hear some of our guests, our past guests call in, listen to our anniversary show. It's going to be about a 2-hour show. And I think our last anniversary show was a 4-hour show. So I don't know. We might do 4 hours. It depends. It's a Friday night. And I have a whole liquor cabinet full of stuff. So there might be some really.
Oh, it's going to be that kind of a party because we have to be careful. Because when we get liquored up, all the secrets start coming out. And then people start getting in trouble.
As long as we keep the cobble wobble away from Jess, we'll be good.
Oh, yeah, I'll try to keep my clothes on. Thanks.
But guys,
it's radio. It's okay.
Well, you know, back in the day, the chat room used to have a camera.
It did. Well, I think it still does have a camera. There's a little camera button at the top, but I'm not pressing that camera button.
No. Well... Oh, we'll have to get into that in the anniversary show, but there was one time that Amy actually flashed one of our guests when she was doing a Skype call.
Oh, no. Okay, I'm going to tell you guys about this. If you want to hear the show that almost got us kicked off air, it's
Mark
Cole. Yeah, it's Mark Cole. He's a musician. If you go to our website and go to Musician Interviews, it's Mark Cole. He is a British musician. And so we were getting ready to do a Skype call, and I'm at home, and I'm, you know, like, sitting here, just got out of the shower, have my hair up still, and he's like, hey, can we Skype? And I was like, yeah. Well, Skype, like, redid their format or something.
Yeah,
when
Amy didn't realize that Skype automatically opened up the video chat on her computer, so she's sitting there, dripping wet, buck-ass naked, right in front of the computer. And all of a sudden, who pops up but Mark Cole? And he's like, hey.
He's like, so it's going to be that type of call. I didn't know what he was talking about until I seen. Oh, my God.
Yeah,
but hey,
Nipples. Exactly.
We,
Mr. Mark Cole almost got us kicked off of air. He was so vicious.
Oh, yeah. That interview was like a whole phone sex operator interview.
Yes.
It was awesome. We even called his ex-girlfriend.
Yes, that was the best use of technology ever on one of our shows. We were Skyping him. He was Skyping his girlfriend and had us on speaker or something. I don't remember what, but then she was calling somebody out. It was the best use of technology ever.
Yeah, it was good. You guys got to check out that one. That was a fun interview.
But anyway, you'll get more stories like that if you come to our... and then somebody got asked on air by a guest if they ever masturbated.
That show's still up if you want to hear that one.
No, I can't tell that one. That's all Amber. I don't think I have a really, truly embarrassing moment. Actually, Astrofang was pretty embarrassing.
Astrofang was not embarrassing. That was, like, an awesome interview.
It was an awesome interview. You know what was embarrassing? When I freaking interviewed Sam Huntington the first time.
You were like, so...
He plays Josh from Being Human, the American version, and his co-host's name is Sam Witwer, and I've forgotten his co-host's name, so I'm trying to describe to him this character, but I don't want to call him by his character's name. I want to call him by his real name, and I totally spaced on the guy's name. It's the same freaking name.
He was like, yeah, his name's Sam.
Sam? How did it look mine? I'm like, oh, I'm an idiot.
I love Sam Huntington. His last interview with us, because we were talking about going to Dragon Con and stuff, and he was like, yeah, I want us to hang out. He's like, I want all the VRO and me and, you know, the guys, Sam and Megan, to hang out. And then we were like, yeah, we can definitely do that. And then he's like, and by hang out, I mean have sex. And I was like, why does this man keep wanting to have sex with the VRO? It's not right. Half of our women are married. Like
20 bucks says he'd fold like a cheap suit.
Well, I think only Amber and I are, yeah, Amber and I are the only single ones.
True. Yes, but he doesn't live too far away from me, so I could just go up there and...
Oh, look at you. Yeah. So, yeah.
I'm sure Eric and I can work something out, you know, tip for tat. Hey, listen, if he gets to have sex with Adele, I get to have sex with whoever else I want. How about that?
On that note.
That was, I heard nothing but crickets.
On that note,
thanks, guys. Yeah. Thanks for leaving me hanging. I appreciate that.
That's almost as bad as Amber's story that she's going to tell on the anniversary show. I'm like floored. I don't know. I'm alone in my studio tonight, and yeah, I don't know what to say. I don't know what to say to that.
You don't know what to say to that? Come on.
More power to you.
No, you didn't actually have sex with her, but you know how everybody has a past? You know, you have a past. Even if you're dating somebody, you have a past.
I don't think my co-hosts tonight are drinking water anymore.
I swear to God, I'm drinking raspberry juice, and it doesn't have vodka in it. This is the one and only time I'm not drunk on an interview.
One and only time.
You're welcome.
That's why, did she get the date right at the beginning?
Yes, I did.
Yes, she did.
Good. She normally gets the dates wrong.
Oh, yeah, I'm terrible at that. I don't know why.
Yeah.
There are people still listening to us.
Oh, they're half asleep.
You guys are crazy. I can't believe you're still listening to us.
But you know what's really funny? Our most rated shows are where we're just on talking.
Yeah. Yeah, I was sitting in the chat room because I was saying how nervous I was, and then it dawned on me. It's like, you know what's funny? Because there are people who call into our show and tell us that they're nervous to talk to us. And
Michael. Remember Michael?
The most ridiculous thing anybody could ever say. I'm like, really? I'm like some unemployed leather worker who lives in Boston who can't even pay for her own phone bill. And you're nervous to talk to me?
If you guys are True Blood fans, he played Renee. He's a great friend of the VROs. And it was Michael James Ramos. And he, when we first had him on, he
was... You got
his
name wrong.
I did. I so screwed up his name.
It was always Michael Raymond James. And he was actually in The Walking Dead.
He was killed in The Walking Dead. But he was killed in...
Bar.
Whatchamacallit, too.
Yeah.
But he was on, and he was like, oh, my God. his accent is kind of like this... Accent, not accent, but it's really cute. And we were like, what? He was like, I'm over here sweating. And we're like, oh, is it hot? He's like, no, I'm just pacing the floors because I'm so nervous. I was like, wait, you're nervous? It's like, but what I think it is, I don't think we're nervous to talk to the people.
I think you said it right, that we're more nervous that it's a good show for everybody else.
Yeah, because, I mean, a lot of our listeners, we have a lot of sweet, sweet listeners, but then we have those listeners that just want to bring us down.
Yeah.
And when, you know, my, like I said, send the hate mail to Jess. I don't deal with hate mail that well.
Yeah, Amy gets all fired up.
I will be more than glad to tell you how I feel.
No. There is no hate mail. There is no hate mail. Because we did a good job this time.
hopefully you all enjoyed the interview. We, Brandon and Jess, they did go and listen to a lot of Paul's other interviews just to make sure that we didn't ask the same questions that he's been asked over and over and over. And like Jess said at the beginning, most of our questions come from the fans. So if you follow us on Twitter and we have a guest on, that's where we take our fan questions.
We do take callers, too. It's just that we didn't have enough time.
Yeah. We didn't have enough time tonight. Like I said, we were only going to keep him for 20 minutes, and then it went over.
Right.
But my plans just fell through tonight.
Oh, that sucks.
I know.
Maybe we should do our show later.
I think we should do a show.
Maybe. We'll see.
Because
maybe
I got
tomorrow.
No plans now. No, tomorrow I'm having plans. My plans got changed from tonight till tomorrow.
We'll see if that works out.
Yeah, I doubt it's going to work out.
But anyway, yeah, maybe I have to get some alcohol before I do one of those shows. Although I think that the chocolate-covered espresso beans definitely helped.
I'm surprised you didn't bring up the Whip-A-Hall. You normally bring that up when people talk about alcohol.
The alcoholic whipped cream, so good. I got everybody hooked on that at Icon.
Yeah, Whip-A-Hall's great. Whip-A-Hall's great. You know, I finally got to meet Cindy. Because you remember she was one of the very first ones in our G-Con Mac and Corey Haim interview?
Yes.
I finally got to meet her and her son, Steven.
Is this Cindy Bitch are we talking about?
Yep.
Oh, she's in the chat room.
Yeah.
Wow.
That's who I sent over to fill out Paul for me.
Yeah, you should have sent G over.
Well, G was actually at lunch, and I was watching his table. And
shit, I forgot the question. I forgot to ask the question about, damn it. I'll have to ask it next time.
What question?
I was going to ask Paul. He mentioned in one of his other interviews that one of his guilty pleasure musicians is Pink. And, like, how much he loves her work, even though, like, people kind of underestimate her. And I was going to ask him if he got the chance, if he'd ever do a duet with her.
Oh, cool. I thought it was kind of funny where he said he was on TRL with the Backstreet Boys, and right before the interview.
Me and you were talking about the Backstreet Boys.
Yeah, I don't remember what Jess said. But she said something about the Backstreet Boys, and I was like, I'd like to get them on.
And I was like, shut up. No, you wouldn't. I don't want to hear that coming in your mouth.
What? Come on. We were 90 girls.
No, we were not 90s girls. We were 80s. Well, you're a little younger than me. We were 80s
girls.
On the block girls.
Well, I grew up with the New Kids, but then, you know, there was the Backstreet Boys and, you know, NSYNC, bye, bye, bye. Mm-hmm. I got live into 2 NSYNC concerts. Yeah.
You know what my first concert ever was?
What?
Debbie Gibson? I was 12.
By the way, I'm gonna throw this out there. You know how shitty it is when you have your favorite band is coming to town, but your cousin's married to the bass player of your favorite band, and she's a second cousin, but she's still a cousin in the family.
Mm-hmm.
And she offers you all these tickets to give out to your friends and stuff.
And then takes it back?
And then she won't even contact you to send the tickets. You know, it's like, so
which
I got... I've got
Which
all my
band
friends.
Would this be, Amy?
I got all my friends excited to go see Aerosmith.
Oh,
well, you already knew this.
I know.
No damn big secret.
I know.
And Kim, if you're listening, call your cousin back.
I love how Jameson Newlander, who played one of the Frog Brothers, Tell everybody what your text message was today.
Well, you know what? I didn't realize what he was saying until I was sitting at lunch.
You didn't realize he was making a joke?
Well, I thought he was talking about the movie Kingpin, because I always get that.
Yeah.
But, so it didn't dawn on me.
I said it afterwards,
I was like, wait a minute. I was like, wait a minute, his name wasn't Phil in Kingpin.
Anyway, gets this text message from one of the Frog Brothers from
Jameson Lost Nylander.
Boys. Jameson Nylander played the other Frog Brother,
Alan
Edgar. Edgar, wasn't it?
No, it was Alan.
It was Alan. He played Alan Frog from Lost Boys, the original movie, and The Thirst. And they were hanging out. And anyway, Amy's got all these people in her contact book, so they randomly contact her. So she's on the phone with me this afternoon.
But he did this one on,
like,
Twitter.
Oh, he did?
Yeah.
But sometimes you get text messages, so I'm not sure. So she gets this Twitter this afternoon, and she reads it to me. She's like, I just got Twittered by Jameson. He says,
Hey, Amy. He said, hey, Amy, do you have a brother, Phil? Sorry for that dumb and old joke, but I think that when I see your name... you get that a lot, ? And so I'm thinking he's talking about Kingpin.
No.
And
Amy's
I was like, wait a minute,
McCracken.
His name was Ernie.
Well, of course, Amy's, he's like, is your cousin's name Phil? Phil McCracken? I'm like, Jameson is such a dork and I love him.
I know, we just need we needed his drums.
Yes.
Yeah, I love him too. And I was like, no, but I have an uncle named Phil. Because I do, I have an uncle named Phil. And then it dawned on me, oh my God. Because I thought he was talking about the movie Kingpin, because Ernie McCracken. Because that's normally what I get.
I hear Brandon laughing.
So, yeah.
All right, I think we have officially weeded down our listeners.
They're like, oh, my God, is this show ever going to end? Like,
right,
seriously?
Right. Well, I do actually have to go eat because I haven't eaten anything yet. But
we'll
do a show later.
Yeah, I think we should. What do you think, Brandon?
No. I would, but I actually have plans.
Oh, I see how it is.
Oh, okay. What's your plans, Brandon?
We're going to go see a late-night movie.
What are you going to go see?
We don't know yet. We're just going up there to
see. Don't lie. You're going to go see the Avengers. Don't lie.
That's not tonight. That's next weekend.
You know what I want to see?
Hey,
I want to see Raven.
Did it already come out in England? Because Nadia has seen it.
No. She's the girl from Tennessee, right?
No, Nadia is in England. She watched it yesterday.
Yeah, they probably. Well, they had some kind of, because Amber was telling me that they had some kind of sneak peek thing. And I know they had one in Tennessee, so that might be something that they had over there in England. But, yeah, Amber said a friend of hers saw it already, too, and I was like, that's total BS. What the hell? You know?
Showing it here.
I was
hey,
like,
Amy.
Come on, Amy, hook us up with some of those sneak peek passes, man.
Oh, I keep those for myself.
Amy. Cindy's asking if all of this is going to be archived. I told her yes. You're not going to take this down, are you?
I'll keep it up.
Yeah, all right.
I'll keep it up.
All right, anyway.
We'll
have your special plans, Brandon. We'll
talk
to you later.
Fine. Bye, Brandon.
I see how it is. Y'all kick me off. I got it.
No, I would have been gone, 30 minutes ago if my plans didn't fall through. And then I'm on Twitter right before the show, and a friend of mine is on a tour, and he's, like, posting pictures of Charlotte, and I was like, wait a minute. He's playing in Charlotte tonight, and he didn't even call me.
I think it's time to smack a bitch.
I think it is, too. He said, sorry you couldn't make it. Hope you catch me in another city. So I was like, it's okay. I'm talking to Paul Phillips. Yeah.
Yeah, sorry. That's all right. I'm hanging with Paul Phillips. Cindy says we're all a bunch of Fruit Loops. So on that note, my loopy self is going to go.
I am not a Fruit Loop.
No, but I could go for some.
I know, me too. I haven't had Fruit Loops in forever.
I know, right?
I love Fruit Loops. I'm more of a Lucky Charms type of girl, though.
I'm more of just the honey. You are in Boston,
and that is kind of the culture over there.
Oh, come on. You did not just make an Irish joke.
I'm half Irish, so I'm allowed to do it. That's like Brooke wrote on my thing. He's like, to my Irish lost girl. I love him. I miss Brooke. I really do. I think I miss him and Jameson. I miss Billy, but I miss him and Jameson the most. And G. Right. Everybody, you know, G is my, he's my older lover.
No, G's got G.
Bitch, hold my hoops. I'm going to kick you out.
Let me get the Vaseline.
And on that note, I think we're going to go out with a little G-Tom Mac.
Yes, let's do that.
What should we play? What should we play? What should we play?
How about
I think we should play the new one.
Which one?
The, listen.
Every once in a while you got to say rock on.
Yeah, you really do.
It's a little dated, but hey, it's all right.
you remember that?
Yeah, you're going to say rock on. That and badass. I think they said badass, too.
It's the only one I got on the switchboard, though.
Hey,
oh, wait, I think I got, hold on a minute, let me look at Corey. Why is it not, are you trying to type too, and I'm trying to type?
Yes.
That ain't gonna work if we do it together.
Sorry. I didn't know, I was trying to look
here
for
stuff.
Here
we go.
Hey, ladies.
Oh, that's so creepy. Don't do that.
Oh, God, I missed that kid. Okay, so we're going to play G-Tom.
You sure you don't want to play Cry Little Sister Can Club next?
I was going to play Groove at the End of the World. I was going to play the Groove at the End of the World, but we can, let's put it to a vote.
Secret of Oz?
All in favor for Secret of Oz, raise your hand.
How's anybody going to hear that? I mean, see that.
I don't know. Brandon, you pick. We got Groove at the End of the World. See, I listen to Secret of Oz a lot. We have Cry Little Sister, the Cave Club, and
The Secret of Oz.
Killer Head. Remember that? I think we're going to play Killer Head.
Yeah, Brooke... I'm going with Killer Head. Killer Head.
Remember, okay. Brooke was like, gee, what were you doing when you came up with this name?
Yeah, I couldn't believe that.
I love it. Love it. Okay, we're going to play some G-Tom Mac Killer Head. Good night, everyone.
Good night.
Good night.
In my head, I might as well be dead. About a killer in me. You say no fantasy. I see innocence snuffed out, make my skin crawl. I feel the region, my soul starts spinning. I see evil like a cancer. Well, we get when in doubt. I'm burning out, that's why I was born. I'm a natural baby. I'm a natural baby. I'm a natural.
I'm a natural baby.
Do you love movies, music, books, television? You do? Then come on over to the VRO on Blog Talk Radio. We have shows for all your obsessions. Vampires, we've got them. The latest blockbuster movies, they're right here. Bands and books, music and fiction, it's all at the VRO. What are you waiting for? Log on to the VRO today. www.thevro.com.